when silver properly, you know, long before cryptos arrived. And I think it's going to, you know, when it gets going, it could be disorderly. And they will truncate it and they'll say, we've shut this market. There's no longer offer and the da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, there'll be all sorts of in-market interventions of a Bolshevik communist type nature that won't let full price discovery take place because it will be too disorderly.
Francis Hunt, the market sniper, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
Great to be back with you and doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you on again. It's been too long. So really looking forward to our talk here this morning or today. And you're in the other part side of the world. So I believe it's mid-afternoon where you're at. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're at almost 22:02 now in the afternoon. Great day so far. Great goal. Move so far this week, this month, this year, and last year, starting to become a bit of a trend, isn't it? A bit of stirring silver, platinum is coiling up. So everything in terms of our positioning is serving us royally so far. So maybe I'll steal a bit of your thunder, but that's certainly looking pretty good and keeping our tails in the air.
Let's talk about it. Let's start with gold here. It's just since I've had you on, what a run, and it's still running. So let's talk about what you see going on and where you see things going.
Well, it's fascinating. I'll talk actually fundamentally before we get technical, because, you know, different people like the idea of technical, but everybody likes the story, and that's the fundamentals. And the key thing that's changed since we last spoke, which was quite a while ago, as you referenced, is we were talking prior to the election and the election outcome. And we were all in that space where Janet Yellen was spending like a drunken sailor. The Biden people had actually denied a recession on the basis of employment when they had been one of the largest employers of statist non-jobs. So a lot of the sort of cultural Marxist type jobs were being created, fluffy positions, and government positions were being, you know, there was crowding out by the grand communism. In other words, being employed by government was the thing. And they denied the recession on account of this unemployment number still good when they were behind it. So they were throwing money into the fire to keep heat in the house, even though the roof was gone. They kept shoveling it on. And they kept denying. And then it was kind of like Louis the 15th with Yellen, after me, the storm. You know, she said, you're going to hit emergency measures now. Good luck. Poison chalice handover. So I get the feeling they never thought that they were going to be carrying on, that the administration change was pretty much fait accompli. And they were quite happy to leave quite a mess. This is the level of, I don't know, the political discourse, the controlled demolition, as I've regularly referred to it. If you think these people are doing what's best for the economy, then you'd only have to look at the last two administrations to see exactly how that went. The events of CV19 broke the funding mechanism. So this is the second part of the answer to this question, which is, what do you see and how's it all about gold? We have to understand what's driving gold. There isn't a dollar on its own. There's a UST, a treasury, USD. We need to think of it as, two components. There's the debt and then there's the credit. And fiat is a derivative proxy and it's borrowed into existence. So when the USTs as a funding instrument crash and the rates spike, it gets real expensive for government. And that's what you've had. Now, with that Yellen narrative, she also shortened the duration immensely on the debt so that you now have $9 trillion in this year alone that needs rolling, which is an unbelievable amount of debt. It's never been anywhere close to as huge. It is literally a landmine laid of intent because she could have put it out on 30-year, 10-year, but she shortened the duration so that essentially there was an explosion for 2025. This is why I say this is very much planned. And I'd imagine that in spite of a weak economy getting weaker, and we met the criteria of recession, we just never admitted it, we are actually going to roll into a deeper contagion. And actually cuts and all these things are too little too late, and they're going to accelerate the doom loop of that. So as you start unwinding all the status non-jobs, flushing out the corruption, there was still money and liquidity that was in the system. You're taking liquidity out. You're making them ward of state welfare, probably. A lot of them won't be immediately employable. They're going to have to sell their homes. So you've seen in Washington a 21% drop in average asking price. You've got twice the amount on sales. So that specific to government. Also in government, you've seen the effect on airlines. There's been a 50% reduction in flying of statist employees. And this has led to a 21% guidance in reduction of revenue. That's leading to a 50% reduction in earnings per share. And it's not just Delta, it's American, it's all the major airlines. So you're already seeing the contagion of contraction, how it works. Everything is related. Everybody tends to think in silos. No, there aren't. There's pipes and feelers and veins running. We're in one big system. And you don't cut the arm off and expect the guy to be fine. And you know, he grows another arm. It's part of the body. It's part of the system. He has stress. He bleeds. He all the things that go on. The heart rate goes up. Everything happens. So what? This is a feedback system. And we're now in the acknowledgement that the debt that lost the better part of 50%, round about 45 at current moments. Everybody is now in that trade. You had Druckenmiller and Paul Tudor Jones. Again, after we met each other, they came out and declared that they are short on the debt markets. And this has led to everybody else following them and crowding out. So these people are late. So what tends to happen is we're now going to get a recession. And in actual fact, a little bit of blowback from a hyper overvalued stock market is actually going to run in back into the bond market. Not like before, like they were just two options. The third option has emerged, and that, of course, is gold, because you asked the question about gold, and I'm eventually bringing you back to why I took you on that long walk. And it is that, in fact, the failure, the beginning of the failure of the reserve asset that was pitched to you as a reserve asset and to the Saudis in the petrodollar is debt. And when the debt rates go up, as we've recently had, the climb, the valuation collapsed. The valuation collapsed. Now everybody is irresponsibly short on the debt markets. They're a bit late. You're going to get a little bit more likelihood that the debt rates are going to get a bit of a bid because the stock market is being sold off and some of that liquidity is going to go in there. But some people in the stock market are going to go, miners look cheap. Gold is on a tear. And you're going to start to see the money going into those equities. And can I point out, many of the miners suffered from lack of attention on account of being too small a market cap. So can you imagine if you start to get real significant holdings in miners? That's going to be absolutely huge. And there's only two release valves for this. You know, it's the debt devaluation that you've already had so far. Too much has happened. It needs to stop. Because you're gonna make it almost untouchable. So we might get a little bit of currency period in here where the dollar doesn't do so great against the euro. We're gonna hear the Fed talk today, but in actual fact, I'm seeing certain nations look even weaker. So we're not saying the dollar is gonna be super weak, but I think relative to its main trading partners, it might have a spell of weakness. So that's also helping the gold price, because essentially it's the anti-fiat. Gold is the king.
Yeah.
It's the original. And the dollar is the big boy of the derivative money, which is currency, and gold is the real money. So that's why, without even showing you a gold chart, all said, we should do that, otherwise we're being really remiss. That's why we are so excited about what's happening in gold. That's the silver. Let's get the gold in there. And that's what you see.
Point out something interesting. My portfolio manager just the other day, he has said he has never seen this in his career. The general stock market, the S&P is down, what, 4% this year in gold? My portfolio is up significantly. And it's all gold and gold stocks. And I should say natural resource related. So there's a huge dichotomy. And I didn't know if I even expected such a dichotomy yet. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, you've had a sector. What you've got to remember is you've had a sector that's been completely ignored and actually dissed and undermined and had the downside of the inflation trade without any of the upside. So the costs of energy, we had oil go up to $130. You had labor costs going up because of inflation and living standards. And you actually had a three-year sideways move in gold post its high. Here's that three-year sideways move. So we're playing with the gold chart a little bit finally. And every time you were being tapped out at the 2K, and we said once, twice, three times, and then you're breaking. And that's when you broke and you sat on it and you wound up. That, what we call an HVF method setup, has delivered to this level a 1:38 trade. So if you risked 1,000, you got 38,000. If you risked 100,000, you got, you know, you can do the math, 3.8 million for that trade. And you are marching on now. It's not a short, you did get a small pullback here. That's why it's a target, but it's marching on. It's showing real robust strength. So, you know, as long as the reserve asset of debt is no longer viewed in the same light, whilst it might get some flows if they kill the stock market and allow the recession, it's never going to be viewed in the same light again. That's because it changed. And what chart I did show you that I know I showed you for people that watched the previous time we chatted, it was 100% this chart, the US 10-year, about why we argued where were all the macro technical guys. Because this was the US 10-year, and you finish a bear market on yields with a final capitulation. This is log scale, by the way. It's quite important to use log scale on very big time frames. And wow, when you're doing multi-decade. And this highlights the absolute extremity of the move.
Yes.
Like that. This was a final spill. And of course, in valuations, it was a blow-off top, like the NASDAQ. But there were quite a few people calling, wow, this is ridiculous on the NASDAQ. In the bond markets, there were no macro technical guys. In August of 2020, we called the first setup in a new trend and said you're going to be on higher highs and higher lows in rates, and that means the market is going to be short. And this is, again, not wanting to sound like somebody who's just a broken record. This is your whole theme of reset. The debt fiat funding system turned. The 40-year bull, bottomless overdraft, that was allowed. Here's the TLT in the values. It's just the plain opposite of the chart I've been showing you. That was a final blow off. People don't realize that the year of 2020 was a pivot. They printed and did absolutely everything. It was like everyone remembers the GFC, the subprime crash, and the dot-com crash. This was so significant. They created such a stop, a cessation in economic activity, that they managed to get the final pump in the debt markets. It's over. The debt markets will never have that set of circumstances again, where everything, no one's spending, all the stock market collapses, every other asset classes collapses, all the liquidity has only one place to run. They can never have it again. That was their final hour, and everything now has been far, far worse. And the amount of times I repeat the saying, I'm even sick of saying it myself, you know, you get the escalator up and the elevator down. That's your elevator so far on the US debt. And that's been your 40-year escalator. So the loss of funding and what's happening with Donald Trump, when we last spoke, it was all still the profligate corruption, proliferation, non-economic sound money expenditure. Now you've got nothing but cutters because they have to. They've got a $9 trillion roll. And they have to, and they're actually doing it. So doggies bite. You know, we've done a little cartoon with Inspector Clouseau with the famous scene, does your doggy bite? And all of that. This doggy is biting. It's killing jobs. It's taking mostly status jobs. It's actually great stuff normally for sound money advocates. Not that I trust Elon, not that I trust Trump, but it's enforced. It's only because they have no other option. They should have actually done it a long time ago. This drama that you had with Zelensky, that was political theater. It is actually because Trump needs peace. He can't fund and send the same amount of money to Ukraine anymore. He needs peace there. He's probably got a war he has to fund in Iran through his handler. as well coming up the way. They don't have the money for it. So they've got to, he needs peace in a lot of places and he needs cuts in a lot of places. So the military industrial complex is a short. BA is a short. We've given specific equities. We've given all major equities reliant on statist expenditure. And I've just mentioned airlines here as well, by the way. And by the way, BA is Boeing. It's airlines and military industrial complex. It's a perfect storm of downside. It's got the technical setups as well. So this is the right sizing of America. It's not a nice message, but don't worry. You're going to have Europe in company too, because the Europeans are half a step behind and they're going to have their interest rates run up. They're about to have their debt. Why? Because they have to go spend now to replace the military industrial complex that America is no longer providing for them. So here's where we are. It's a debt-based failure system. And the reserve asset of all errors that should have been part of the 60-40 portfolio as 10 or 20% component, and the 60 and 40 should have been deflated down, was negotiated away. Forget about that gold thing, that old pet rock, all those disses that Buffett, Greenspan, etc. did. Although before becoming Fed chair, Greenspan was very, very clear about his affection for what gold truly illustrates. Now we see the truth and gold is moving, and it will bring silver in due course and platinum with it, but they are lagging still a little bit. The main guy is the guy to hold. And in due course, the miners have already started to run as well. Our favorite being Ola. Jump in.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the miners. Let's talk about silver and platinum.
Great. So Ola is our favorite. This has been in our community. Why is it our favorite? Because we want a technical setup structure as well as the narrative. Now, other things will go up without having a specific technical structure, but this one gave us exactly what we wanted, which is a tight risk reward ratio and a big move. And it's also given one of the biggest moves of the miners, because you're getting a bit of a mixed bag at the moment in terms of who's moving a lot and who's kind of less spectacular. There's been some miners a little bit less awe-inspiring. Let's just move that box a little bit. I'm going to move it. This is our setup, the tool that comes. I'll move it to the bottom left there. And then we can see what's actually happening. So this is a great breakout. Wow. We've been buyers at about $3.80. There was a nice little squeeze. We call it squeezy Japanesey when you do that. That is a volatility compression. You broke out of that. You did get a return move. But this is a far bigger setup. And, you know, we got $10 as a start. It's going to overperform as typical, but that's the first. You note you have a little pennant at our interim, our first interim target where we expected to take a rest. You had another little rest down here with HVF method after making the second interim. And we're heading for that $10 level. No, that's a 3X. It's not bad without leverage in terms of the move so far. I mean, really just starting in terms of miners. So this has been a great, great performer. I'm happy, by the way, to bring up any of the others. If you mentioned the indices, they're more general, GDX and GDXJ. I think they'll be stirring, but they won't have delivered a 3X yet. Which ones would you like me to look at?
Just look at GDX and GDXJ.
So we do the technicals also on the big ETFs, and they are looking promising. But as I mentioned, nothing beats a volatility squeeze. So overall, that's GDX, FANEC. Big key level at 30 that broke here. This was a small element of, I'm on quite a big time frame monthly there. That was a small element that we were looking to see the 30 break. You ran up there, you're now at 44.85. That's 50% move from that key inflection point. Don't forget, November it was. In fact, February when we broke at 2011, right the way through till February this year, and gold had put over 45% on. Now it's probably closer to 55, going on 60% soon. But that's obviously now more than a year, given that we're halfway through March. So it's unbelievable performance. GDXJ, I still think a little bit laggy. I think it should run this and should be doing quite a bit better. So I still think we're not seeing the full move into miners. There is a huge disinvestment out of US stocks generally. into commodity-orientated stocks. The other important thing to notice politically, what was going on, is Trump was trying to secure resources from Ukraine for the peace deal. Biden's thrown anywhere between, we don't know really, $150 billion, $350 billion at Ukraine, along with what got thrown at Israel, which is quite typical as an Israel proxy, the United States. So who knows? But he was trying to get some return on capital for that and to secure some resources. But the British had gone and tried to sign a deal saying, we've been 100 years friends with Ukraine, all of this. La-di-da, such great friends, and we'll protect you forever and a day, and we'll send troops to die fighting Russians, you know, for no rhyme or reason. So you actually have supposed allies at a national level falling all over themselves to try secure resources. But hold on. These governments are big fans of the banking system and their currencies, but actually they're chasing commodities and they want to secure resources. So now that the governments have realized and understood that they've got to chase resources, there's going to be a lot more interest in mining coming down the pike. So this is around 50 level. Again, juniors are up, but it's not spectacular for me. I mean, that was a ridiculous low. You're only a little lower than the Shanghai Accord low just before the Chinese debt meltdown, which was an extreme multi-generational low for miners. So there's a lot to still be done. We kind of had a bit of a bad W bottom here, technically, because you had the super spike that was part of the COVID events. There was a very quick wick. It got bid straight back up there. So that's kind of a W bottom, but I'm not impressed with it because it came a long way back down. Technically, it's not near as pretty as selected individual miners. So it's a proxy of an average. There's some equities that have been pretty poor. I'm not sure how, for example.
Well, a question on that, and also a question on what you're getting to is, are we looking at a breakout there on GDXJ, or is that where you're hitting resistance? What do you see there, technically speaking, if anything?
I see everything as being in a fairly impulsive breakout. We're on quite big time frames here, monthly.
Yeah.
More to capture the big picture, but you are leaving the 50 level here. I meant to have that on the round number of 50. And said, you know, you need to get above that and trade above that. And you're doing that now. And you made a new high. But is it specifically technically interesting that I would say, wow, I'm impressed? Not really. Not so much. There is a small element of, okay, we've got a shoulder in there. You'll have some technicians shouting at their computers if I don't point this out. So there is some degree of inverted head and shoulder there. But again, the best setups in terms of what we do and what we specialize in are high momentum, fast breaking, with very asymmetric risk reward profiles. These are the trades that should get you excited. Inverted head and shoulders, you need a stop below that shoulder. It's quite a broad stop. Your stop's going to be at about 41. If you bought at 50. So, you know, you need it. And then what's the juice worth? Is it worth the squeeze? Still not a bad trade, but is it my favorite? It's not typical of our favorite setups. You'll do better on individual equities, but all are bullish. So that target there, you know, that's a 97 that we're calling from something that you're getting in the mid 50s. Not bad. Sounds not like bad. 80% plus. So, you know, better kick in the backside. It doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. But I still think you can do better on the individuals. I mean, I think you and I both, we interviewed.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have a theory that it's going to be a picker's market, if you know what I'm saying.
Especially to start, there's a lot of people that got a bit messy on debt. You know, I like Mr. Neumeier, Keith. And all of that, but you know, that's an underperformer, and that would be in your silver miners equities. It's an underperformer. Did it now do a squeeze and could it get going? It might just, but everything might look at that, but you've got to look at how it didn't hold value. Now, if you look at that and you say, well, we're starting at the bottom, Your best movers are also your early movers. Everybody goes, well, I'll go and choose the laggard that's yet to move because I hate this idea of buying the hype. That's actually the wrong thinking. The ones with the best management teams move first and move higher and faster and longer. But you ideally need to get it at the right time. If I put First Majestic there and you compare it to Orla, if I divide it by Orla, the one we put in with a HVF, for example. Now, I'm not saying they're the exact same companies, but they're two mining stocks you could understandably have an interest in, which do metal, precious metals. Then, you know, they're not entirely different aliens to each other. But if you look at this performance relative, I mean, it's quite sad what it's done to First Majestic Orla. So I've taken First Majestic and divided it by Orla. That's what it's cost you. You're at a value of about 9 up top here in the 2017, and you sub 1 here. So Orla is a 9x plus. It's actually a 10x, I would argue, on plus in outperformance to First Majestic. Now, it's a bit hard on First Majestic, you know, Jared Canyon and all of this. That's the story. At the end of the day, what's making me money?
Yep.
Who's got their story straight and it's being seen in the price? That's a big difference in relative performance. That's a relative performance index. I mean, I can show it to you for people the other way around. Some people, we have bull bias and we struggle seeing things the one way around. Let me just show it to you. If you divided by, let's say you had shorted First Majestic and you went long Orla so that you were net neutral in silver. You know, that's a possible trade if you're just working on one being the better executor or better set. This is how your P&L would look. You know, you're talking about a number down here that's around 0.09 and you're now at 1.26, 0.09. So times by 10 is 0.9. Mm-hmm. And you've got another 50% on that to get to 1.3. That's a massive outperformance. If you'd gone all in short First Majestic, you didn't have to be right about silver price. Mm-hmm. You know, you're totally neutral to the market. Now, again, I don't suggest being short any silver miner, and I'm not beating up on Keith or First Majestic. I'm just saying method matters.
Yep. Yeah.
Those who can win. And our picking mechanism is the price recognizing something good in that and the charts and the method. And that's a key point I want to leave all those watching right now. I'll underline that with a cokey with an interrogation mark. Don't miss this fact. Not all silver investments are equal when you're dealing in miners.
Well, let's do this. If you could show me just silver, what you're seeing in silver, and then let's talk about just a couple other stocks that you see that are potentially breaking out. We'll give that to our listeners.
Yes, I'll show you an interesting chart as well. Again, it's not a trade recommendation. It's just a real interesting one. It's a proxy for one or two things. So I have volume on. It's looking a bit noisy with the volume, so I take it out. This is the silver US dollar. That's a great rejection, by the way, and that's a good move up. So here's the macro on silver. It's not the same dollar. If I were to tell you it comes out at $333, it's not the same dollar. That's a target we have of $330. It's not the same dollar. I can tell you that. You're paying $50 for a loaf of bread in those days, maybe not quite so much, but it's not the same dollar. In short, we're going to see an acceleration in the devaluation of the fiat and the debt markets because it's chronically over-proliferated. But some people will shout out, that's a cup and handle, the traditional technical analysts. We think it's even better than that. That's the cup and handle drawers.
Wow, look at that.
And that key level at 50, which was 1980, 2011, and awaits to be run again. But we actually frame it slightly differently. And we say, well, by the time you've adjusted this for CPI, it's actually more of a symmetrical triangle. It actually qualifies as our HVF setup. So we divide it by something. Let's just CPI AUCSL. I think that's the one. So let me just draw it like that for you. And again, I'm going to make instead of 1 month, I'm going to make it 3 months because we're barely getting a candle out of all of this. Now you can see the candles. We've yet to take out this third high. So it's clean off face here. That was the obviously the huge 80s run. This is the huge devaluation of metals in the the run-up to the dot-com boom where everything was tech stocks, and after the bust and no one had any money. That's the extreme lows. That's the 2011. I told most people who will listen, 2011 is not the full bull. It was a truncated bull market. And then you had a slight leap for the 21 run. That's literally that. So the takeout of this level is going to be a key level for us. So we're dividing by this, the inflation rate compounded over all this time. For silver just to reach the same value of the 80s, you've got an incredibly long way to go. You've got to climb about six times from current prices in dollars, just so that everyone understands. So you're at about, let's say 34, 35 would be easier mathematics, but it's 180 plus 6 by 5 plus 30. Make it 24. Okay. 34, let's say 24. So you've got 180 plus 24, you've got 204. So it's a lot of dollar valuation just there, just to reach the 80s. Our argument is you actually have a compression triangle event that is going to lead to an unbelievable move, but it will be a bit, it's going to show up cryptos for being tame.
Wow.
This is the original crypto when silver properly, you know, long before cryptos arrived. I think it's going to, you know, when it gets going, it could be disorderly. And they will truncate it and they'll say, we've shut this market, there's no longer offer, and the da 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 da. And, you know, there'll be all sorts of in market interventions of a Bolshevik communist type nature that won't let full price discovery take place because it will be too disorderly. It will reflect negatively on them. That's how fast the adjustment will be. And they will do it because they have to hide the truth of the full scale of their deception and financialization of everything. And assets that are being leveraged, and I say assets in very loosely, because if I mention cars, they are really only current assets with depreciation that have, you know, 7-year mortgages on them and a 40% balloon payment. Good luck trying to get full price anywhere, a real good sale on that when everybody is crushed by the financialization unwind.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the same boat. You'll be buying great vehicles, dirt cheap. And the guys that have cash and gold are going to be picking the eyes out of, like vultures, the people that have been captured by this. And they're going to be hated and loathed by it. And there will be social unrest that goes with it. But this is a huge, so you wanted the lowdown on silver. This is huge. Set up, it's massive, and the move is going to be frightening. And the amount of leveraging is so vast, people don't understand it. There's some people still calling for a melt up. So just bear in mind, earnings are being halved because of government workers. The revenue drops 20%, but there's a gearing in that. The earnings are being halved. That actually means the share price should be halved. You've overpaid a lot of government officials to have a chin wag together and a coffee, flying to see each other for so long and built so much debt on that, and that the airlines are half what they should be just on a 50% reduction of state employees. Imagine that became 20% and only the heads of department ever had justification to fly anywhere, as it probably should be. Imagine that. Imagine what the airlines do there. They become loss makers. You're looking at one or two major car makers disappearing entirely, being folded up, a cycle of bankruptcies, denial of it being bankruptcy, must keep it alive for the workers, turning into welfare state pension funds, life support systems, eventually wound up. And airlines too. And the military industrial complex, got to be smaller. People that have relied on protection from America are going to have to fund their own cop on the beat. And that's going to get costly for them. That's why the Europeans are half a step behind. The way on European debt, if you're interested in this, just so that you can see, I'm not just doomer on the US and there's real opportunities. There is a very serious, oh, by the way, Bitcoin versus gold, as I pass this chart, for those that are a little bit maxi-dom on Bitcoin and supremacy, a little bit supremacist in terms of that. There's quite a lot of them around. Friday, the 1st of March, 2013 was when you hopped onto this trend line. This is a log scale chart. This is 12 days of Bitcoin holding this trend line. Yeah. And you are now here.
Look at that.
You are now here. The central banks and the big money have no problem moving gold from probably mid-teens to a 20-plus trillion market cap. But we're struggling to get Bitcoin through the 2 trillion market cap. What's that? Big money knows. They're not buying the surveillance token. They're buying the physical, and they want it where possession is 9/10 of the law. This is something I've talked about for a long, long time.
That is a great point. Yep. Yep. Just imagine when it does flow there. If you would, take us to platinum. You were talking about the breakout there. It looks interesting. Then take us just through a couple of your favorite breakout stocks or that you think are going to miners that are, you think are going to break out.
So it's worth saying a few words on platinum scarcity.
Yeah.
When you speak to the miners, there's 8 times more silver than gold. So for every ounce of silver, you get 1/8 of an ounce of gold. For every ounce of gold, you get 1/20 of an ounce of platinum. So actually for silver, for every ounce of silver, you get 1/160 ounce of platinum. Or you need 160 ounces of silver to get 1 ounce of platinum. This is an incredibly unique and scarce metal. And the problem with it is also, it's largely found where I'm sitting, Southern Africa, which includes Zimbabwe and South Africa, being about 80% of that market, and the rest being Russia for about 11%. And then the rest of the world, you know, Australia, Canada, US, bits and pieces of Asia, India, et cetera, making up fragments of the overall supply. This was one huge deval of platinum. And that had a lot to do with the green agenda, a huge amount to do with the green agenda. So they used to be utilized in catalytic converters. Then they pivoted to palladium. Palladium had a huge run, also in the platinum group, but different. And that killed and ate platinum itself's dinner so much that we had this huge falling wedge. We call it a type two. You have a flush out to the bottom before you eventually break out the top. So that was the breakout. That was the return move. What you now have is a coiling technical structure. Remember what I was saying about Orla, the miner? That's what you've got right there on platinum. We see a 1700 before major rest and then new highs.
Wow. That's about 70% here from where it's at.
It's under 1,000. Oh, well, actually, it's just gone through 1,000 now. You could have bought it. There's been opportunities a number of times in the 990s. You may get again. So that is huge. We'll show you that structure on a lower time frame. I wanted to give you the full context on the monthly, but if I just take it to the weekly and we just look at this since the flush out, and I'll draw the setup for you again, utilizing our unique method, which puts us into the best trades. Remember what I showed you, the difference in performance between Orla and First Majestic, how you would be hating being a First Majestic shareholder throughout this bull market so far. We stopped that from happening by getting you in the best outlier, 89.49. I'm just checking which of that's 89.3. So this is our draw tool, and that is the setup, and we get 1672. But this is the first setup in a new trend. So our rules say overperformance is to be expected. So we would not close this in full. We might take half off and the rest run. So this is a squeeze, a beautiful squeeze within a squeeze. And of course, the key number of 1,000 is there.
Yep.
Last chance to buy at 999s, you know, go and leave an order in there. It's literally kicking around a dollar each way. you might be able to get a three-digit platinum price, with gold through 3,000. Right. Most of my young and middle years was with platinum at least 30% multiple to gold, and at sometimes close to double in gold price. Platinum has traded far higher than gold, by multiple most of its time, until this financialization of everything and the green agenda, which saw it be substituted industrially. And the pricing is at margin, you know. So a small chip and change, and boom.
Yep.
The investment hasn't been there, you know, not in South Africa. We've had power cuts for mines. Imagine how terrible that is for supply chain.
Yeah.
In terms of long-term supply, that just won't be there. And it's a very thin market. So that's a super exciting one. But I don't want to overtake people's eye and overcomplicate it too much. You know, people start talking about rhodium and palladium and, you know, trade what's tradable. There's a great story for silver. Gold is the lead runner, and you need to be in gold. Don't be too clever. But there's opportunity. And when gold continues to assert, which I expect it will, expect this to trigger. And that's a great trade right there. And it's a great investment. It's not just for traders. It's an investment right now. Some countries pay VAT on it being registered as an industrial. I don't think that's the States. But or anything else?
I think that's a good ending. I would say this. Is there anything that you want to leave our viewers and listeners with that, I guess, to be aware of and concerned about over the next, I don't know, 3 to 6 months when I have you on next?
My overall take is this is a very, very difficult global period. And that everyone will say, oh, but it pays to sell fear or what? I don't choose to sell fear. There's no benefit to me, actually. If I'm in my primary channel is helping people build wealth through the reset process, preserve capital, and secure long-term freedoms by utilizing multitude of different residencies and existing more nomadically. That gives you an arbitrage of conditions. HVF method is how we build wealth. There's a lot of tools that I won't be getting into on preservation and freedom securement, but that's also part of our business. It doesn't actually, people don't like to spend money if you terrify them, generally. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying this to terrify people in fear, but I am probably one of the most bearish. You do not taper a Ponzi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just don't. There's contagion. The notion that you're going to do this in a manner that is not disorderly is a foolhardy notion. You know, I'm playing with a chart here, and I'll just show you how wrecked the Western world is. So this is Western world. This is the fulcrum of the EU. The spine of the EU is Germany. The German government bonds 10-year yield weekly. They've been used to financing at 2.5%. 2.5%. That's kind of what Americans were used to, in the great recovery from the GFC. They're going to run 4. They're going to run 4 in our view.
Yep.
And that's not a good thing.
Yep.
That's not a good thing at all.
Look also, at that.
These are beautiful setups, by the way.
Yeah. Look at that.
If you just think it's Germany, if it was just a German problem, they've also had their actively destroyed, their economy actively destroyed by Merkel, who took them off nuclear.
Look at that.
After the events. This is so we go, okay, how's the French looking?
It's the same chart.
It looks the same chart. Of course it is. This is the 10-year. It's not like I'm choosing some obscure. This is the bread basket. You know the everyday funding US is the 10-year. The French government 10-year yield. You could have been funding and finding. Think of what this is going to do to the European property markets and the people's ability to raise a mortgage in a very recessional environment where they're not getting increases in salary. They're getting an interest rate that they could have borrowed, let's say, here in December of 2024. It was as low as 2.843. It's going to 4.6.
Yep. Yep.
4.83, 4.6. That's 80%.
Yeah. You know,
5, 70, 80%.
Yep.
And you know, imagine your biggest payment is going up 70%.
Yeah.
Now, they can do fixed deals, but the fixed deals get much more expensive in an environment of increasing rates. And the more, yeah. And here's the big thing that's very important, and we've seen this in America, to bring us back to our American audience. Mm-hmm. You actually had cuts. You had 100%, you had 100 basis points cuts, and actually the 10-year went against that by 100 basis points up. And mortgage financing got more expensive. People will, how do you have the central banker cutting rates and your mortgage cost when you go require funding from a bank goes up? Because the CEOs of the bank know the bond market has crashed. They know it's we're past the good days of the bottomless overdraft. Nobody cares. This isn't robo-signing world anymore. They want real collateral. They want to hold you by the short and curlies in every possible way. They want a real profitable deal because the possibility and the risk has changed.
Yeah.
That's why you're paying so much. That's why the costs go up. That's why they're not scratching each other's eyes out to outcompete each other on the cheapest deal. They don't want loan book.
Yeah.
They're scared of loan book. They have to offer something. They can't withdraw entirely from the market because they might lose their license or they might get threatened by governance or states, but they're not going to be competing.
Yep.
You're paying more for the same thing. And that's also inflationary because it's one of the biggest costs to everyone. So tariffs is inflationary. Trump is essentially taxing his own people and seeking credit for attacking China. So China gets oil and gas from America. They tax it and put a charge on it. It goes as a higher production cost into the good they're building for Americans that's being sold in Walmart. That comes out. Trump puts a tariff on that of 25%. It goes into Walmart. Walmart is going to make their usual margins. They're not doing anything for free. What happens there? Everybody pays in America for everybody else putting tariffs on it. What does that do for inflation? Rates up. What does that do for debt? Debt valuations down. You want to get a mortgage and create a new debt instrument with a bank? How keen are they for that? They're buried in debt. Mm-hmm. They don't see it as the same asset that it once was. They've got to rip your face off in interest rate charges to feel like they're going to make money and ensure that you've got the means to pay. Otherwise, they'll turn you down.
Yeah.
So much more mortgage rejections. And here I'm showing you Europe is half a step behind and has now got to go and build a military industrial complex to match the hole that America leaves, that America wants out of NATO, or to reduce or renegotiate the terms. Britain runs a Trident system. It runs entirely on U.S. satellites. They literally have to ask permission to use it. America can refuse it. So they're not that independent on it. But the British taxpayer is paying for that. Well, America says, listen, we're not going to run any costs. We're going to pass all these costs on to you if you want to keep having this system. All of these things happen. The troops in Germany. There's been American troops in Germany since the end of World War II. Imagine that gets halved and goes home. Or even all retraced. This is where we're going. The European major nations' debt is going to lose value. They need to borrow more, just as they're killing their automotive kings in Germany, and China's killing it with BYD on the battery cars and all the other stuff. You should see here in the BRICS nations. You don't see them in America. Chinese cars everywhere. They look cool. They seem pretty well built. And their batteries run much more than Teslas do and much longer because it's a battery specialist company, BYD. You've got Beijing's, you've got them all. You're not seeing that, but I can tell you they're winning. They're winning. Yep.
It'll be interesting how it plays out. I think what we'll do is we'll end on that, Francis. I want to just say, I want you to give a shout out where people can find you and you need no introduction. But before we do that, I want to tell all my viewers and listeners, Francis, with the Market Sniper, he was the first big name I had on my channel. This was 3 to 4 years ago. And Francis, you were so gracious. He came on, it was no problem. And then you just been, I owe that. Excuse me, I owe that to you. And a couple, what was it, last year, we met in person at one of the conferences, saw each other out on the road, and I had a chance to, and it was an absolute pleasure to repay that back to you. So I just want to tell you how much I'm grateful for you. And also, just a fantastic, fantastic technician. But more than that, you really paint the picture with the fundamentals and the geopolitics. So I'm a huge fan, and I will always be a huge fan, especially what you how you helped me. But if you could, go ahead and give us how people can find you.
I want to actually make a comment on that too. Our take is always to be supportive of independent media and help everybody in this space. And it's our actual standard. I've helped channels with virtually no subscribers just to help people go along. And in return, you helped me immensely. People should know that we were traveling. We had a certain amount of kit. And then suddenly I had interviews I wanted to do. And Andy actually made available lighting, camera, whole little studio available so that I could do recordings. Me, the guy had come from far away and wasn't going to have a futile event and just be recording off iPhones and things. He made all his kits available, recorded on cards, and handed it to me. So being kind to you, which is I'd like to think our default position to everybody in this space to support building, was returned in spades to me. And that's the law of good karmic relationship, being respectful to all people, helping everybody along the way that are truly seeking truth. And we've helped each other. And I want to thank you publicly. You're a decent man. You're a really decent man. And that's a strong word. It's not a middle of the road word. And I really appreciate the support we got when we were there in Miami. So straight back at you. And if you feel aligned, and you want to be treated with respect and fairly, and you want a respectful system of true money, you want to bring it forward. We just gave also a podium to JP Cortez, who is putting pressure from ground up to get the taxes removed on gold and silver. You're moving from money to money when you're moving from a fiat currency to gold. Gold's the real money as far as I'm concerned. You shouldn't be taxed for that in America. I'm supporting in America, Australia, England, in countries I don't even live in, any initiative that makes real sound money available to all of you. If you want to be part of a community that's seeking to build wealth, and it's okay to do that, it's not greedy, but for the means mainly of capital preservation and living a life of true freedom, where you can be where you want to be, do the things you want to do, and you're not a monkey on a grease pole with a central banker proliferating against you, then when the inflation devalues all your assets being charged, unrealized capital gains on something that hasn't even really, in true terms, made a capital gains, if you see that as Ponzi-nomics and cacocracy, and you're irritated as I am by it, and you want to help good, honest people, you probably belong in our community. And we aim to help you reduce funding that beast and serving yourself. And I say, not my circus, not my goddamn monkeys. I ain't playing that game. And for those of you that feel like that, but are good at heart, true people that want to support people in the space, you belong in our home. And we'd love to have you. Follow us on the Market Sniper, the YouTube channel, or book a call to have a chat how we can serve you in terms of those three things that I've mentioned. Build wealth, preserve capital, secure greater freedoms. Thanks for having me on, Andy. And I've loved watching you grow, and may it continue.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll put everything you said, all of the links to the show in the show notes on the YouTube channel, on Apple and Spotify. Again, Francis, it's always a pleasure. I hope to see you again soon, and hope to see you in person on the road again when our paths cross. Thank you again.
Absolute pleasure. Look forward to that moment myself. Bye-bye, Andy.
Take care.